Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by two guests, Chris Castain. In fact, the first guest of this podcast, the original co-host of the End Zone Podcast, and Brendan, all AZ baby on Twitter, all the way from Arizona. How are the both of you? I'll start with you, Chris. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in there and just living life like normal.
Brendan,
nothing special.
Brendan, what about you?
You know, I'm doing great. Last podcast was a lot of fun, and excited to talk some more football today.
Right. So, kind of a basic rundown of what we're doing today. We'll touch on the brief bit of NFL news that is out. And then I just wanted to – I have so many people on this podcast where I just interview everybody. But no one really ever interviews me. And I get a little bit jealous sometimes. And there is nobody better to interview me than the original co-host of this podcast than Chris Castain. And I want to see where his football brain's at and what football questions he has for me. And we'll throw those questions to Brendan as well. And then Brendan and Chris are going to compete in a hot take off where I will pick the winner of whatever hot take I like more. So you've got to really come with the heat, obviously, as cheesy and cliche as that sounds. Well, let's just get right into it. The preseason is kind of the big NFL news of the day. The thought is that it is almost guaranteed now to be cut down to two games instead of four. So with that said, how do you feel about that, Brendan? Do you like that? Do you think it'll affect the product a lot? Do you like, or are you one of the few people, I suppose, that likes a four-game schedule?
I personally don't like the four-game schedule. I honestly don't think it matters unless – it's just the earlier football starts for me, the better. But, yeah, I don't know. Four games, two games, I feel like you'll get the same product. You'll, I mean, the extra two games I don't think will be that crucial for roster moves. But I don't know. I don't think two is the end of the world. I think it's completely reasonable at a time like this.
I think it's great news. There's a couple of reasons why. One is you reduce the injury risk. I mean, even though you're probably not going to play your starters that much, but you still reduce the injury risk where you would have had into basically – it's not impossible to get injured, obviously, but it reduces the risk a lot. And I just think right now in this situation with the COVID-19, I think you need to reduce where you can, especially in unnecessary games like this game, these four preseason games, I think – I could say two to three of them are unnecessary. Honestly, I could see cutting down to one game, but I love the idea.
Yeah, I can totally see this kind of working out. They were going to cut down to three anyways because of the CBA next year, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, this is going to hurt kind of deeper roster guys, obviously, but I think everybody is in favor of a shorter preseason, less chance to get hurt, and it'll just give more teams time to be in training camp, because you think about it, the preseason happens in the middle of camp, and then suddenly you have the day before. You probably don't want your players practicing the day before a preseason game, and you obviously don't want them practicing the day of or after a preseason game. So you already lose 3 days of practice all by itself. So 7 days a week of basically continuous football practice, I think, is going to be super helpful to these teams, especially when they don't have OTAs and things like that. And that is the short and brief news of the day, unless you guys have anything else.
No, I was just gonna add, I don't know if they're gonna do if they're gonna start the preseason on like the 8th and then have a game in 2 weeks or if they're going to play back-to-back games, like back-to-back weeks. So, like, where they play every week. I don't know if they'll play every 2 weeks or just play, like, the third and fourth week of August and be done. I mean, not that it really will matter, but I'm curious to see what they end up doing with that.
We'll see how that all ends up playing out. All right, Chris.
Yep.
It is time. Yeah. Speaking of time, I said I was gonna start a timer. I never did, and that's okay. You have some football questions for me, and let's just go with all four. I'm going to make an executive decision. We'll do two hot takes a person. But I want to hear all four. I want to see what Chris Castain, I wonder what you're curious. I want to know what you think I think about football. So
you're making this really complicated.
with that said, I'm going to throw it to you, Chris. Take over.
All right, cool. Both of you could answer this, any of these questions, but I wanted to talk to you about the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, during the draft, they drafted, I can't remember, Jordan Love in the first round. I wanted to see, what do y'all think as far as what they're going to do this season? Do you think they're going to be any good? They didn't draft in any of the skill positions. They didn't draft in any of the skill positions. So we didn't really see much improvement. Do you think they'll be good or do you think they'll suck this season?
I think it'll be kind of in between. I look at them and I see a defense with a lot of talent on it still, despite losing Blake Martinez, obviously, that hurts for a linebacking core. But I think the defensive line is good. I do really think the Packers' defensive line is – I think they're really good. I think they're up there. I think they're probably the second-best line in the division behind the Bears. I think they've eclipsed the Vikings at this point with the talent that the Vikings lost this offseason. But, yeah, I'm worried about the offense. It seems like they want to be a running team. They drafted A.J. Dillon in the draft. So it seems like it's going to be Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And Aaron Jones was great last year. But I just kind of – I don't know. I do tend to worry about them. I think that they're in real danger of having a losing season. I just don't see them as a playoff team right now, just because defenses are so hard to keep up from year to year. And even though they had a good defense last year, it was so up and down. There were like 3 week stretches where the defense would completely disappear. And I don't really trust Mike Pettine, their defensive coordinator. So yeah, that my answer would be, I just don't.
I think they're going to be average, basically.
Yeah.
A little more, maybe.
I think like 6 to 8 wins is where I see them coming out.
Okay. I'll let Brandon go, then I got a question for you.
I will honestly label the Packers as contenders in that division. They still have the veteran leadership from Aaron Rodgers. They have Devontae Adams, a top five receiver. They have Aaron Jones, and they just added A.J. Dillon. And drafting Jordan Love is kind of a head-scratcher, but Jordan Love was supposed to be a top 10 guy off the board. The Packers got their chance to get great talent. Jordan Love did phenomenal in college, and I don't know. I feel like that's going to be – they're planning for the future to replace Aaron Rodgers. I know it doesn't look the best, but I feel like they are planning for the future. And again, like Eric was saying, the defense. It's a really solid defense. You got a decent linebacking core. You got a really good D-line. And then at corner, you have Jair Alexander, who's absolutely shut down corner. So I honestly could see the Packers maybe pull off some magic. Who knows, though?
That's really high praise for Jair Alexander. I don't know. Where is – I guess that's my question for you, Brett. Like, who is – Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to other than Devontae Adams, though? Like, he has no weapons. He has one weapon. That's all he has.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like they are – they feel confident now in Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. and obviously Devonta Adams. We'll see if they'll utilize their tight ends a lot this year. But
do you think they should be, though? Because I don't think they should be. I think Alan Lazard is a flash in the pan. And I believed in Marquez Valdes-Scantling last offseason. But it's clear at this point that he's just this one of these guys that's always going to receive hype and never really show out. He's not a good wide receiver.
Yeah, Alan Lazard isn't the most impressive guy. I know I'm pretty sure last season was his first season. But, yeah, I don't know. I really thought they were going to go with a position guy, like a receiver at that pick. But they shocked the world and, well, they shocked the NFL and took Jordan Love. It'll be interesting to see what the Packers will do in the next couple years.
So, this could be back to both of you. As good as you're talking about the defense being, I'm surprised y'all don't think there's a chance – do y'all think there's a chance the defense could carry this team further? Because
I don't think they're that good.
It sounds like you think they're pretty good. You say they're better than the Vikings.
But I think the defensive line's better than the Vikings. I think just the defensive line? Well, Chris, you got to understand that the Vikings defense is bad now. They lost every single one of their starters, the Vikings did, basically. They are replacing an entire defense. Xavier Rhodes is bad. Really, all they have is a safety at this point. The Packers defense is better than the Vikings, but it is an average defense. An average defense. It's not going to carry them. It's not a defense that's going to win you games.
The way you said it, I thought you were saying the Vikings defense was – you thought the Vikings defense was pretty good. We got that clear. So you don't think – you said no, you don't think they can carry this team?
No.
Okay. Is that all y'all had for that question?
Anything?
Yeah, that's about it.
My second question, which is both of you can answer, but Eric, you said on Twitter a couple of months ago, talking about the Falcons, you said they would go 5-12, and I think you said or worse. Do you still believe that?
Yeah, I really do, because I think the offensive line's bad. I think the defense is bad. I think outside of that defensive line, where is the strength on that defense? I think the secondary is bad. I don't think Calvin Ridley is what I thought he was, because just watching the Falcons recently, and I went on this Falcons binge a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley, I don't know if you agree, someone watching the Falcons, everybody hypes up Calvin Ridley, but he doesn't do that much. He maybe has one or two catches a game, but that's about it.
He takes it in spells. I say he takes it in spells, but his performance goes in spells. He has games that are really good, but he has more games that are just meh, average, or pretty good, okay. More okay games than he does really good games. So I would say people probably do overhype him, but I don't think they overhype him that much, because you have so much hype going into Julio Jones. It's hard to say that they're overhyping Calvin Ridley.
But my opinion on the Falcons, so Eric's saying that they're going to go 5-12. It could be a bit of a stretch.
That can't be right. 5-11.
5-11.
5-11. Okay.
Yeah, that's my bad. Sorry, I just quoted. But anyways, they lost. Okay. No, they have no Devontae Freeman. They have Todd Gurley, who his knee is loaded with arthritis. Julio's still going to be their number one guy. Calvin Ridley may break out. Who knows? They replaced Austin Hooper with Hayden Hurst, which in my opinion is a bit of a downgrade. O-line, not the worst, but it's pretty good. They lose Vic Beasley on defense. They do look solid. Their linebacking core is pretty solid with Deion Jones and Fowler and Deion Buchanan. But on defense, they just drafted A.J. Terrell, and then they have Keanu Neal at safety. So who knows? Maybe they could impress some people, but I don't see this team having that amazing of a record this year.
So nobody sees 8-8 like the last 2 years. Nobody sees, everybody sees them being worse than 8-8, right?
Yeah, I can see them going 8-8.
I don't see 8-8. I just, I don't know how Dan Quinn still has a job, to be quite honest with you. I think he's got like the hottest seat in the NFL because he like fired all his defensive coordinators. And then when he actually called the game, called the plays, especially at the beginning of last season, they went like 1-6, 1-7, right, to like start the season. So I don't see how they're going to be much better. And you get Dirk Koetter as your offensive coordinator, which how's that going to work out?
Probably the same way it did a couple of years ago as it was under Mike Smith. But so are you saying that you're surprised Dan Quinn still has his job, or you'll be surprised he has his job at the end, if he has his job at the end of this coming up year?
Both.
Oh. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he keeps his job. I just don't see them finishing good enough. Best case scenario, it would be 8-8, and I'm not even seeing that as at this point. I still believe in their talent on offense. The defense is just depleted. So I'd see 8-8 is best case scenario, but I'm thinking probably like 6-10. I mean, at this point.
Yeah, they've got a super tough schedule too.
Exactly. Yeah, they do. They have very few easy games, and then usually I'd look at it and say, "Well, Tampa's an easy game." It is not an easy game this year. They got a rough division.
If Tampa's going to be as elite as people think they will be.
Yeah. I have talked about them in one of my hot takes later. But anyway, has anybody else got anything else to add to that?
Dan Quinn really hasn't been anything special. The Falcons front office really hasn't upgraded this team since they lost the Super Bowl. So, I don't know.
We'll see. I agree with you. So, moving on to the next question, not 100% football related, but more of a general question. Do you think the Jerry Jones not making any public comment about this, what our world events going on, will have any effect on the NFL season or the Cowboys team?
I don't know. You phrased that question kind of weird. Do I think it will have any effect on the Cowboys season?
Yes.
No.
On the team itself.
I really don't. Well, I just.
Okay. It's more a yes or yeah. I mean.
You phrased it a little bit weird. So is what you're asking is, are players on the Cowboys going to be offended and hurt by the fact that Jerry Jones has not spoken out?
Yes, that is correct.
I think it depends on the player. I think Ezekiel Elliott, who was part of that video that they sent to the commissioner, might be. Dak Prescott doesn't seem very outspoken to me. He seems like kind of a quiet guy, actually.
Do you think any players will sit out?
No, I don't think anyone would sit out. No.
Okay. What do you think, Brendan?
Jerry Jones, I feel like he really should speak out, but I feel like you could give him some time. There's still bunch of owners who really haven't formally spoken out. Jerry Jones, he's not on a stick right now. Like, he's not forced to. I'd love to see him, but I don't know. I really think he should, considering Ezekiel Elliott featured in that video, and basically it was a call out for help to the NFL, and hopefully Jerry Jones answers, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I don't think it'll have any effect, but hopefully he will make the comment to calm everybody down. All right, on to the last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is primarily Eric, but you can answer too, Brandon. How confident are you in the 2020 Denver Broncos making the playoffs?
Ooh. Uh, That's tough. Brandon, you go first. I got to think.
Okay, well, coming from their division, let's just start there. You got the Chiefs. You got the Chargers. You got the – who are we talking – jeez, I'm so sorry, guys. We're talking about the damn Broncos. Yeah, so you already got the Chiefs and the Chargers in the division. Those are already going to be two competitive teams. Drew Locke last year, I feel like a lot of people are being misled. I don't think he was all too impressive. I know he showed a few flashes at times, but Cortland Sutton's also a phenomenal receiver. And Denver also just drafted Jerry Jeudy, who was one of my top receivers from that draft. And I don't know. I just feel like that offense is going to be stellar now with adding Melvin Gordon. And then you still got Noah Fant at tight end. And that defense is really good. You still got Von Miller on that defense. It's just, I don't know. If the Chargers are bad, sure, they can maybe squeak in with the wild card, but I don't see them winning the division.
They're definitely not winning the division. I'll say that. That's just not gonna happen. I'm still not sold on Drew Locke 100%, though. As a fan, I've kind of bought into the hype. As an analyst, I'll say no, obviously 5 games is so small of a sample size. You need to see much more. I would say definitely not less than average. So I'll say like 6. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if they had a losing season. I'll say that.
I'm also sorry. I didn't give a number. My number will be around 8, by the way. 1 to 10, 8 for making the playoffs.
Wow. I think that's pretty high.
I think they're between an 8-8 to 11-5 team. I think the ceiling's like 11-5. The absolute floor to me is like 7-9. I'd be shocked if they, unless Drew Locke's just like outwardly bad, I would be shocked if they won any less than 6 games. So I think they'll be fine.
You'll be ready to throw all your Broncos gear away if they go anything less than 6-10.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, you know me. I'll just start another Fire John Elway campaign.
I'm sure you will. I'm thinking, for me, I'm thinking it's probably like a 5, and I'm in the middle. I like the talent, but it's not proven yet, so it's hard to be anything above 5. But it's hard to be anything below 5 too, because it's too much talent to. It's too much talent to not believe it's possible.
Okay. Do you have any questions that aren't about the Broncos or the Falcons? That was just about the most predictable set of questions.
Well, I did the Packers.
Okay, you have the Packers.
I said the Packers. The Cardinals. What's that?
Ask me a question about the Cardinals.
Oh shoot! I don't know. Eric, come up with a question about the Cardinals.
No. You come on. You've got to have quicker reflexes than this. Chris, you watch the NFL for fun.
Yeah, what happened this offseason? The Cardinals are the most notable team this
like offseason. You need to have a question about the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
I don't right off the top of my head. Oh my God. That I'm not one. I don't come off the fly like you do.
Yeah, you're just – okay, Chris. Chris is a slow learner, and we forgive him, and we love him, but he's a slow learner. Brandon, I'm going to do a quarterback ranking show here next week with some other guests that I have on a lot that are way into the film, and we'll really nerd out about quarterbacks. Tell me where on a number scale Kyler Murray is for you right now as far as quarterbacks go. In the
right
NFL.
Now, I think he is top 10.
Okay.
Going into this season, at the end of the season, I feel like he'll be a top 5 quarterback. And that's my prediction as a fan. But film and other other stuff like leads me to believe this. He's an absolute athlete. His deep ball is phenomenal. He didn't turn over the ball much. I think 8 interceptions, I think, and didn't fumble the ball at all. He was, I don't know. I just feel like now with getting DeAndre Hopkins, that's just, he's going to be on a different level. So I think I'd probably give him 8 or 9.
Okay. I have him at 9.
That's fair.
I have him at 9.
He's still unproven. I'll give you that, 100% unproven. Last season wasn't the prettiest. I know he won Offensive Rookie of the Year, but he took the worst offense and made it middle of the pack, which is pretty impressive, if you ask.
He's probably top 10. I tend to be a believer in Kyler Murray, and I don't know that he's going to be a top 5 quarterback by the end of the season, but I definitely think he'll be consistently a top 10 quarterback.
All right. That's good. Okay, so let's get to the hot takeoff here. And I guess here's the way this is going to go. I'm going to call on one of you. You'll give me your hot take. We can all kind of react to said hot take, debate it if we disagree, which I'm sure we will, because by the nature of hot takes, they have to be hot. And again, what I mean by – when I define a hot take, I mean a take that nobody else has, a take that – you believe in so strongly, and it can be about a specific player, a specific team. It can be about a division. It can be about anything in the NFL. So I'll start. Chris has dominated this first segment, so I'll start with you, Brent, and we'll do 2 apiece, and then I'll pick the winner for each round. If there's a tie, we'll go to a third final round. Brendan, what is your first hot take?
All right, so my hot take is Allen Robinson is one of the most underrated receivers in the National Football League. And I'll tell you why. He's 26 years old and he's about to enter his prime, and he's played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, put up very good, not very good numbers. His second year, he put up 1400 yards and I think 8 touchdowns, but yeah, he put up a really good year that year. He kind of slowed down a little bit, got injured 1 year, and then came to the Bears to it. Another terrible situation, quarterback situation. He still found ways to thrive in these situations. I feel like he's very underrated. Nobody appreciates Allen Robinson for who he is. And there you go. That's my hot take.
For me, it's Eric.
What's up?
Eric, are you going or do I need to go?
No. Okay, Chris. We've really derailed here. You can respond if you want to that.
Okay, I know what's wrong with what we're doing.
The segment very clearly.
You did, but I wasn't sure if you were going to be doing it as well. But I should have realized that you wasn't, because you were going to be the third referee. But anyway, I don't think – personally don't think that's a hot take. I think he's been – to me, not widely known as an underrated receiver, but I think he's been one of the top underrated receivers for the past year or two. So I personally don't think that's a super hot take. But moving on to my take, if I can. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Dolphins will win 8 games or more. There's a couple of reasons, but 2 reasons particularly behind that. And I think one is I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to come straight. I think he's going to start by week 3 at the latest. Some people think it's later. Some people think it's earlier. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to sink in by week 4, and I think Tua's going to start by – I said week 3. Week 4. I think Tua's start by week 4. And secondly, I like what Brian Flores did last year through the stretch. Things were looking pretty ugly, and then he turned that team around. I think the defense – I believe in the defense. I don't think they're going to be anything spectacular, but I think that they'll be good enough to win 8 games or more.
I completely agree with you. I think that the Dolphins are a team that – I don't think I to most NFL fans that may seem like a hot take, but I completely agree with you, Chris. Tua, once he gets out, I think Fitzmagic will have his same old stint where he'll have 2 solid first games and then throw three picks and then four picks and then get benched like he always does.
Yeah.
And then Tua will come in. But, yeah, you got Devontae Parker, who really broke out last year. You got Preston Williams, who looked good for them. You got Gesicki going into his second year as a tight end.
Did Preston Williams look good for them, though? Because he, like, barely ever played last year.
Who?
Preston Williams. He barely played last year.
Had his flashes at moments, but I'm just saying he looked like a decent second receiver. Keep in mind.
And Mike Gesicki, really, I don't know. I watched the Dolphins a lot recently, too. And, like, Mike Gesicki does not pop off the tape to me.
Well, Eric always sends the down the Dolphins, so I don't listen to too much of what he says.
They just got a new – they got a revamped running committee now. They got Jordan Howard, and then they have Matt Breida, two decent options. I feel like they can easily win eight games. They're not close to the bottom of the pack, I feel like, in my opinion.
Right now they have – they're not great at any – they don't have – they're not great at any position, but I feel like they're either average or good at almost not – I would say 80% of the positions.
I'll say they have a good defense. Their defense is good. Look at it with all the additions they've made. I looked at that defense earlier today, actually, and, man, they look like a – like a solid group. Verdict here: neither of these takes are very hot. Let me redeem myself. I just want to come out of the gate with that. No, you'll have a chance to redeem yourself with take two, but I just want to give you guys a barometer here. I'm looking for really hot takes, Chris. Right, a lot of people, Brendan. Let me just make my judgment here, Chris. A lot of people think the Dolphins will be good and win 8-8. You would have, like, 100% been the winner if you were, like, the Dolphins will go 10-6 or 9-7.
Only one game difference.
Right, but you went tepid. You said, I believe the Dolphins will only go 500. If you really wanted to make a hot take, you would have – yeah, but you would have said at least 7-9 if it were a true hot take. Brendan, that's been a widely regarded take on this podcast for a while, unfortunately.
My apologies.
Jonders, our good friend who's on this podcast a lot, has had that take for years.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, great minds do think alike. And I really can't wait to get you in a room with Jonders. Jonders is great. Shout out,
Jonders. Eric wanted to hide. He didn't want to do his hot takes because he wanted to judge ours.
Yeah, I'll do a hot take last. But
I'm definitely going to judge it.
Okay, well, you definitely should. But I'm going to give this one to Chris just because this is slightly hotter. Slightly hotter. So round one to Chris. All right, Brendan, redeem yourself. Here's round two.
All right, so my second hot take for this year is the 49ers will miss the playoffs and the Cardinals will win them.
All right. Now that right there is a hot take.
I'll tell you something. Last year, the 49ers were carried by their defense. And if you disagree with me, you were not watching the film. They were absolutely carried by their defense throughout the year. And I'm not going to say that this defense is going to be bad, but it's hard to replicate.
I don't know, dude. Did you watch Kyle Shanahan's running game? That was also pretty dope.
Absolutely. But if you can stop the run, you need Jimmy G to throw the ball. He can't throw the ball. And that was highlighted in the
Super Bowl. But no matter what, Kyle Shanahan can run the ball.
That's completely fair. But if he couldn't compete with the Chiefs, the Cardinals stuck with the 49ers both of their games last year. They almost beat them Thursday night at home, and they almost beat them in San Fran. And they were, I think, one or two. One was a one possession game, the other was a two possession game. And this was a young Cardinals team able to score all over that defense.
So Jimmy G missed one throw in the Super Bowl. I'll point that out. He missed one throw in the Super Bowl. He was good last year. I don't give a Jimmy G hate.
Didn't take any chances. He's not an elite quarterback. I'm sorry. Jimmy G is not an elite quarterback.
I couldn't hear the take. What was the take?
That the 49ers will flat out miss the playoffs and the Cardinals will get in.
The Seahawks and the Cardinals will win the division.
Yikes! I agree with the – you said the Cardinals win the division. That's what you said, right?
I said the Cardinals will replace their playoff spot in the NFC West. It'll be either the Seahawks or the Cardinals will win the division.
I could agree with the Seahawks winning the division. I think the Cardinals will be in second place in that division. I think it's going to be a – I don't know. Actually, I don't know. The more I think about it, they'll probably finish third. I think that division is going to be tight. That was actually one of the takes that I had thought about earlier was I think San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona will all be within a game of each other in that division coming down to the end. But I don't think – I'm not there with Arizona taking San Francisco's position in the playoffs. I think – San Francisco's defense is too good. I agree with you with the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff. I 100% agree with you. I don't think he's anything great at all. I agree with some of what you said, but just not all of it. I think it's hot, and I don't think I'll be able to beat that take. but nonetheless, I'll try. I think Todd Gurley's still a 1,000-yard running back.
Those are two hot takes.
And the reason I say that is that I still believe in the Falcons' offensive line. I think the offensive line will be better than it was last year. And I don't think Todd Gurley's health's going to – I don't think his health's that bad. He just passed the physical for the Falcons yesterday, which doesn't mean a lot of anything. I'm sure it doesn't take a whole lot to be going to pass the physical test. But I think he'll be in – full ready to go come September.
You see, Chris, I'm going to have to disagree with you. 2017 and 2018 were huge years for Todd Gurley. He averaged above 4.5 yards per carry. Actually, 4.7 yards per carry in 2017, 4.9 in 2018. And in 2019, back down to 3.8. And I know that's not the worst number, but Todd Gurley definitely isn't the 2017 and 2018 Todd Gurley. He has he had limited stats in Los Angeles last year, and I think he's just going to be a waste of money for the Falcons, unfortunately. But we'll see.
I don't think he'll be a waste of money because they didn't spend that much on him. I think this was more of a trial run. I think Todd Gurley has to perform this year if he's going to. If he's going to keep on, if he's going to move somewhere else and get a starting job, I can't say this is his year to, if he doesn't do well, is he's a done, because that's just simply not true. He'll get a backup position somewhere, but I think this is his last chance for a year or two to get to prove that he's a starting running back.
We'll see.
It's a hot take by Chris. I do say that is a hot take. It is just way more likely that Todd Gurley gets 1,000 yards though, because Ito Smith is not that much competition. This one goes to Brandon, which of course means this goes to a tie break. So tiebreaker here is, Chris Chastain and Brandon. And I guess Brandon's ready. So Brandon, give it all you got.
This is similar to what we talked about in the last podcast, but I'm going to go in more depth, but the Jags are not tanking. And they are not going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. They're not going for Lawrence. And I know everyone's like, what do you mean? Gardner Minshew is their quarterback. And if you do not believe me, watch the tape. I know there are times where they lost the game and he did have some turnovers, but he had DJ Chark, he had DeeDee Westbrook, Keelan Cole, and he made all three of those dudes all look better. He didn't have one good tight end on his team. He had O'Shaughnessy, who nobody has heard of. He made those players better. And I feel like the addition of Laviska Shenault is just only going to make Minshew better going into his second season. And also training this offseason, Gardner Minshew looks so athletic. I know, like you said, Eric, it's just him practicing in a field, but man, he looks great and he looks committed to running that franchise. And who knows what happens with the Jags this year.
I kind of agree with your take. I think it's fairly hot. I don't I think the specifics of it, you said that you don't think they'll be the worst team in the NFL. I don't think that that's,
that's super hot.
Brendan, this is the final round, so I'll give an addendum to both of you.
What?
An addendum. That means you can kind of change things a little bit, add something to it. Give me a record. Make it an extra hot take.
Guys going 10-6.
Okay. Now, there's a take. Actually, and when Chris said share your hot take at the end, that was the hot take I have brewing, was Gardner Minshew will lead the Jags to 9-7. And I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Gardner Minshew recently because you brought his name up earlier this week.
I was watching him too.
he's discount Russell Wilson. I truly believe that. He's like discount Russell Wilson. He's not as good as Russell Wilson, but I watch him and he just reminds me of
what?
No. No, he totally does. Chris. You just need to Gardner Minshew.
I'm not saying that, but you said he's a discount Russell Wilson.
Yeah, discount Russell Wilson. Yeah. Not as good as Russell Wilson, but the same DNA.
He's
the Walmart version of Russell Wilson.
Okay? He's a poor man's version of Russell Wilson at best.
That's fine. That's the same thing as discount Russell Wilson.
Gardner Minshew was a rookie and was put into that terrible Jaguars offense and made it look halfway decent. That's where I'm impressed.
Doesn't his scrambling, though, remind you of Russell Wilson, Brandon?
Absolutely, yeah. And his maneuver in the pocket, too, just like the shuffling around. I don't know. I'm not going to say he's as mobile and as tough as
– Oh, Russell I think he's as mobile. I think that's where the similarity is. I think Russell's got better accuracy and a better arm and better everything else. But
yeah,
Gardner Minshew has the mobility and like pocket presence of Russell Wilson, which is the best in the league. So, and their body types are really similar as well. Actually, I was looking at like some measurements, and they just look really similar to me. Everybody will think I'm crazy for thinking that, but yeah. So that's a pretty hot take for Brendan. All right, Chris, you had to follow it up.
All right, I think this one's pretty hot, but maybe not. I don't think the Bucks offense will be. I think the Bucks offense is overhyped, and I think the team in general will go 8-8. I actually, when you said that earlier about the changing the takes, I was like, what do I think the Bucks will go? And I think they'll go 8-8. I just don't think. I think they need a year to get together. I think once you bring in a new quarterback, and I know Tom Brady's Tom Brady, but I just don't. I think they're going to need to get used to the system. And when I say they, I mean the whole offense. They're going to need to get used to the system. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski in particular, because they're the newest. But I think that's going to take a year. And I think they're going to lose some games, and they're going to have some rough stretches through this year. And I think 8-8 is pretty reasonable for this team.
Chris, I'm sorry to make you feel bad, but I agree 100%.
Oh.
I agree 100%. Wow. But I think there already is some uncertainty with.
Wow. All right.
My uncertainty with the Bucks is you're taking a guy, Tom Brady, who is – all he did last year in New England was throw checkdowns. That's all he did last year and hand the ball off.
Yeah.
And Jameis Winston threw the ball 50 times a game to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Now, if Tom Brady can get the ball and trust his receivers like that, but that's not Tom Brady's type of football. That hasn't been Tom Brady's type of football for the past couple of years. It's been check down, quick slants, not these vertical guys like Mike Evans. And Gronk coming back, yeah, that's cool. But, like, I don't know. It's Bruce Arians' offense with Tom Brady and then with these other receivers. It's just – I don't know. It's a boom or bust team. I'll say that.
Okay. Hold on.
I think their talent is the best in the league on offense. I think their talent's the best in the league. But I just I kind of agree with you in a way. Tom Brady does not make the throws, even the throws, some of the throws that Jameis Winston made. Tom Brady, I don't think, is that guy. And I don't think he's going to become that guy just because he gets in Bruce Arians' offense.
And right. Exactly, because he's better than Jameis Winston. No, all right. First off,
that's not what I mean.
I gotta go after it. Here, one, Chris, you win because this. I'm a judge, so I'm automatically biased. So I'm judging this off. Oh, is this a thought I would have? If this is a thought I would have, that's not a hot take. Me and Brandon literally matched.
Brady. I have had this thought since the day they signed Brady, but
me and Brandon match up on Gardner Minshew. So to me, that's not a hot take. Never in my wildest dreams would I say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going 8-8. And I'm going to respond to both of you really quickly. The reason Tom Brady threw quick slants is because that was the only type of wide receiver he had. All they have had in New England for the past 2 years has been Julian Edelman, and that is Julian Edelman's game. When Tom Brady had Randy Moss, he threw deep. When Tom Brady had Brandon Cooks,
how many years ago was that?
10 years ago.
Yeah, let's
Brandon
go.
Cooks was 3 years ago.
Randy Moss was 3 years ago.
Brandon Cooks was 3 years ago. Was 3 years ago. He threw deep to Philip Dorsett occasionally.
I think Brady's a little washed up.
No. See, this is where we disagree.
He would have commanded
the washed
that.
Quarterback in that division is Drew Brees. That's the guy that's washed. Drew Brees is washed.
Over Tom Brady?
No, Tom Brady is not washed. Tom Brady is fine.
Yes, he is. Tom Brady had the easiest division and still managed an average record with the best defense in the league in the easiest division.
Because he had no one to throw to. He had zero wide receivers.
Hey, what did Gardner Minshew do with the Jaguars? A good quarterback should make his receivers better. That's my opinion.
Well, guess what? He doesn't have to at this point. Even if you believe that Tom Brady was washed, Drew Brees is washed, and he still leads a high-quality offense because of the talent of Mike Thomas and Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara. And now you're talking to me about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones, who is going to be a perfect back for Brady. Just a perfect back. They're going to throw so many screens to him. You guys are absolutely crazy. The Bucs are a no-doubt playoff team. I could not even fathom in my wildest dreams picking this team to go 8-8. So congrats, Chris. You have won this contest.
No, actually, I think you have won it, my friend. You just predicted the Bucs to be a playoff team.
They're a lock. How can you look at the Bucs roster and say they are not a lock? They have the most talented offense, arguably, in that division over the Saints.
What did everybody say about the Browns? What did everybody say about the Browns when they got Odell?
Exactly.
Listen, Bruce Arians is not Freddie Kitchens. Bruce Arians is not Freddie Kitchens.
Oh, he's not.
And Bruce Arians is with literally every single quarterback that Bruce Arians has ever played under, no matter what their arm strength, they have come out successful.
I do give Eric has a valid point. Bruce Arians did have Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer was not known as a deep threat quarterback before he got to Bruce Arians' system.
I agree with you there, but we'll see.
It's a big we'll see.
I have so much confidence. I make ice cream sandwich bets all the time, and I'm going to throw one out to both of you. So I'm going to double down on this ice cream sandwich bet. I will buy each of you a box of ice cream sandwiches, and this is good for you guys because you can split the cost with me of a extra big box of ice cream sandwiches.
Okay.
I will bet you ice cream sandwiches that the Pats go – that the Bucs go at least 10-6.
Okay, give me the just send it to me right now. Do you have my address right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
I'll take that.
You guys are crazy. You guys are just certifiably crazy.
Dude, it's an accident waiting to happen.
No,
it's
gonna work out. Ah, those are the easiest ice cream sandwiches I've ever won in my entire life.
Eric trusts the system, I guess, too much. I don't know.
I trust Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. And he has proven everybody wrong that has ever doubted him ever.
You trust 43-year-old Tom Brady.
Yeah, he was good last year.
And his arm is not as good as it was 2 or 3 years ago.
He was good last year.
It's probably going to get even worse this year.
He was good last year. He's actually probably going to be worse.
He was mid-tier. He completed 50% of his passes or something like that.
Which is what he's going to do again this year, probably. Unless if he might look better, but I think it will be.
Yeah, he's had the lowest passing rating since 2008. 88.
He threw 60% of his passes last year. Let's be clear about that. He was still a 4,000-yard passer. Only threw 8 interceptions. Threw 24 touchdowns.
That's
only
not good.
5 less than the year before.
Look at the run after catch on all those touchdown catches. Literally. The amount of times Brady has had to fit something in a tight window last season, he didn't have to throw any tight window throws.
No, yes, he did. Come on.
Watch the tape. They're all checkdowns, and it's just run after catch. That's how he pads his stats. That's all.
So Bruce Arians will do that. We'll see. He's one of the best offensive minds in the game right now.
Better. Look, I just don't think. I think Tom Brady will be at best what he was last year. And I think if he looks
– To me, Tom Brady's still a top 10 quarterback.
No, he's not.
He's
no.
10. No. He's 10.
He's top – maybe top 15.
No, he's 10.
Not top 10.
He's 10 right now.
No, I don't think so.
You guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. I'm going to dive deep into Tom Brady.
Because hey, I got one last question for you guys.
Yeah.
Sure.
Give me your top 3 receivers in the league right now.
Well, they all belong in the NFC South. That's easy. It's Mike Thomas, it's Julio, and it's Mike Evans. Those are the 3.
DeAndre Hopkins doesn't exist anymore? That's interesting.
He's 4.
Think he's top 3.
He's 4.
DeAndre Hopkins is 2.
Have you seen Mike Evans play football? Mike Evans is like otherworldly. He gets swept under the rug. Because he plays in Tampa. And this is why you guys are mistakenly saying that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to go 8-8 because Mike Evans is simply a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL right now. And to believe otherwise is ludicrous. He made so many plays with Jameis Winston as his quarterback. He does everything well. He runs intermediate routes well. He's a great deep threat. He wins contested balls, yards after the catch. He is insane. I love DeAndre Hopkins. And I will say he is 3A. I would not put him at 4, obviously. He's 3A. But if you had to make me pick – who's in the better situation, I'd take Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to blow.
Kyler Murray, a franchise QB, one of the best deep balls in the game.
I know. I'm sorry, Brandon, but I just believe
you. You take Tom Brady's
system. You guys don't understand how much I
believe.
Take
Tom Brady's system over. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see how this.
When you guys, come back to me in November when the Buccaneers are like, 9-2 and just roll him through their schedule, and you'll be like, man, why'd I ever doubt Tom Brady? That seems like a dumb
thing. No, they'll be picking top 10, man.
Until Tom Brady is dead and out of the league, I will never pick against Tom Brady.
When it comes October and I'm on this podcast and we're talking about the 4-4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'll be laughing.
Okay, good. I hope you are.
But – talking about DeAndre Hopkins,
Chris, they will go on a 9-game winning streak and finish the year 12-4 because it will take them some time to get acclimated. But Tom Brady teams always get better in the second half, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be in the NFC championship game.
Don't go there.
You guys just – okay. We got to end this, but
– Well, I was just going to say real quick. You guys,
unbelievable.
I was going to say about DeAndre Hopkins. I think in the year 20 – this year coming up, I think there's a chance, maybe not the overall, but I think there's a chance DeAndre Hopkins could overtake Julio in the top three. I don't know. I kind of worry about.
No way, Julio's the best wide receiver in the league. He makes Matt Ryan. He makes Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's bad, and Julio Jones.
Julio has games where he's shut down though. That he does next to nothing.
Yeah,
but every wide receiver does that.
I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins almost always has a good game. Almost always.
He's had 5,000 yard seasons in his 7-year career.
So has Julio Jones.
Okay. Yeah, but Julio's over.
Why isn't DeAndre Hopkins top three then?
I said he was 3A. He is top three.
3A, he was 4.
Okay. I'll just bite my tongue.
All right.
I'll pretend it didn't happen.
Wow. Well, this has been contentious at the end, and that's what you love to see. Well, this has been great. Brendan, again, thank you for – I hope I haven't offended you too much that you'll come back on again. You are
– Oh, no.
You are now a regular guest after today. We will get you on probably in the next week or two, and we will go after it again. Chris, my friend.
Yep.
A good time with the rest of your week. Why don't you guys shout each other out? Chris, you're a video gamer now. You're a professional. Oh. You're a professional Twitch streamer. So why don't you tell people where they can find that?
Well, I'm not really a professional. I wouldn't call myself professional, but I would just say really mainly follow me on Twitter at Chris_01, and really everything that I do, I post there. So. That's where I would say go.
And then, yeah, to find me on Twitter, I'm at AllAZBaby. I just post Arizona sports content. Nothing too special.
Wow, the two most humble men in sports broadcasting, Chris Castain and Brendan. Well, wonderful, gentlemen. We will be out of here. This is the last this is not the last podcast of the week. One more podcast tomorrow, and we will get out of here. Next week, only perhaps one podcast, but a big one, the quarterback rankings show. Lots of debate will be had. All right. Thank you all very much for joining. We will see you all next time. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.